This is a very special episode of Waldman's Words because it is the 100th episode aired. I believe it's the 93rd recorded. Is that true?
I believe it to be true.
Two is another number. So can you say, I believe it is so?
I believe it is so.
Okay, thank you.
100th episode, spectacular, if you will.
Yeah, no, I will. It's spectacular that this show exists. I just told Tom how grateful I am to him and meant it. Yeah. I'm grateful to everyone at Adobe. I'm grateful to everyone who listens, and you're one of those people because you're listening now. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to Emily Burke, who is my full-time assistant and my oftentimes co-host.
Hi.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I will take that.
Emily edits these shows, which thankfully doesn't take too much because we try. I mean, sometimes guests come on and they're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm like, oh. And I have to tell Emily to edit it, which sucks for her. But oftentimes it's just copying and splicing. But that is something that she does. And I'm extremely grateful to her. This is, I guess, an episode about gratitude. I think that not enough people in every industry say thank you. And Emily and I want to thank every single guest that's been on the show, all 93 of them. So you're technically another guest right now.
Yeah, I was a guest before and I'm a guest now, so does it count?
Yes.
All right, cool.
So that's why I said 93. But yeah, you know, fuck it. You're 93 and 94 and 7, whatever it is. I don't know. It's weird. Numbers are weird and scheduling's weird. People don't believe me when I say I'm booked out until 2 months from now. But like, this is not bragging. This is not a humble brag. This is not me saying, you know, I'm great, because I'm not. I've been doing Adobe for 2 years and I'm getting better and I love it. And hopefully I'll be great, but I am booked out until August of next year, as in 2019.
I think you're great.
I think you're greater. Thank you. That's cool. Because she's normally like I say, resting bitch voice in the most flattering way ever, because she's less emotive than I am. But Emily is honestly, I say this without a shred of doubt, the future of this industry and any industry. She is bright. She's passionate. She's capable. And I trust her implicitly.
Oh, but
and what?
See, I think it works in my favor that my voice is like that, because as soon as I do show any little bit of emotion, it means so much.
You're such a lawyer's kid. by the way, shout out to Robert Burke for giving Emily counter arguments, especially quote unquote when necessary. So anyway, this is the 100th episode that is being aired. We're going to give shout outs to some, which is one or more of the guests that have been on. If I missed you, I apologize. We just don't have the time. We might even be recording episode 101, which is episode 100 part 2. Mm-hmm. We might not. But you're here now, and I hope you enjoy this episode, because it's definitely an atypical one. We had one which was atypical at It's Not Dead Fest, where it was a compilation of mini interviews.
Yeah.
This isn't a compilation of anything other than stories.
And love.
Yeah, actually it is. And I'm very tentative about the word love. I think a lot of people in this industry use the word brother and use the word love. Like, I have a lot of love in my heart, but I don't love a lot of people in this industry. Hopefully one day I will. I love my wife. I love my life. And I love pizza.
I think those are the only three things you need to love for a happy, healthy life.
Well, not healthy if it's pizza, because it's really bad for you.
This is LA, cauliflower crust and
counter argument and met. That's another thing. Accountability. Emily has that. And that argument was really fucking good, because cauliflower crust. But I could argue that too much of anything is bad for you.
Hi, welcome to the pizza episode.
Episode 100, pizza. Yeah. One time in high school, Really Fish is still one of my favorite bands ever. They're actually my favorite band on Warped this summer. And I was outside of a Real Big Fish show at Irving Plaza in New York City, which is now called the Fillmore.
I know.
And damn right you do. It's the best venue in the world. And it was Teen Heroes, RIP, such a good band. Zebrahead, love them, still a band. Real Big Fish. And there was this guy from MTV2. you could find this in the annals of history, who was interviewing bands. And I was an obnoxious kid. I'm an obnoxious adult. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I was like 18 years old. I think I was either 17 or 18. I said, interview me. I'm intelligent. You're laughing. I really did that. I have this on tape.
Yeah, no.
And he did. So he's like, what word comes to mind when you think of real big fish? And I was like, pizza.
Yeah.
He said, real big fish, pizza. And I nodded, yup. So, pizza.
Pizza.
It inspires MTV2 interviews or ESPN2 interviews. Inspires everything. And actually, believe it or not, I'm going out for pizza with a guest on this show. I'll give him a shout out now. Dan Suriff.
Dan Suriff.
Shout out to Dan. We'll talk about Dan later. We'll talk about, well, I'm going out for pizza with him now. But it won't be soon now. Then, if not when. Watch Spaceballs for like some weird one. Anyway, Waldman's, Waldman's words loves you. Emily, do you have an adjective to describe this moment?
Sporadic.
Frenetic. Waldman's words, episode 100, coming soon. I mean, coming now. Soon now.
Hello, welcome back to Waldman's Words, 100th episode spectacular, as I have dubbed it today. We don't have an official title, but I think it's pretty spectacular. And I'm really excited to be hitting 100 because I have edited maybe a good 93 of these. And I've had a great time with each one.
Why are you doing resting bitch voice for the great time? Like, seriously, like, everything you said was so damn good until you did that. And, like, you're saying all these positive things, and it'd be kind of like me saying right now, oh, my God, my life is amazing. Everything's great. I love my wife. I love pizza. I love Adobe. Emily Burke's great.
Well, I have a reputation to uphold now. People are expecting a certain level of...
The people.
Uninterested from me.
Disinterest?
Disinterest.
Well, I mean, that might be true.
Yeah.
But I like to expect the unexpected. So, episode 100, spectacular, Waldman's words. Again, we could not do this show without Adobe or you listening. So, thank you. Let's start. So, this show, right after I got married on August 27th, 2016, which right now is almost 2 years ago, but by the time this airs, it'll be around that time. We have had a different episode of Waldman's Words airing every week since, I believe, September of 2016. And I don't have repeat guests other than Emily.
Hi.
And I'm trying not to. I might have some former guest co-host, but let's start right now. Nick Moore was one of the first guests ever on this show.
Moore.
Do you remember Nick Moore?
I barely remember September 2016.
Well, I remember Nick Moore, and I actually spoke with Nick the other day, and Nick owns a label called Invogue Records. He also has a company that sells merchandise, Capital House. Well, let's see. I mean, I might even be butchering that. Hang on one second, because he has a store, he has a hip-hop label, and he was in a band called Before Their Eyes. So he's done a lot, and... Most importantly, he's a father and husband, and he just adopted a kid.
Aww.
So I think Nick is one of the good ones, and I say that sometimes. Like, honestly, I don't think everyone in this industry or this world is a good one, and I'm not going to talk about every guest, not because some of them aren't good, but just because it doesn't make sense to. So Nick is great. I'm looking right now at the Invogue Records website, and... So many artists on this. Yeah, and
I see stuff from them all the time.
Well,
like, it's crazy. In Vogue is just, and I have a t-shirt from them that you gave me.
Damn right I did.
I wear all the time because it's a beautiful shade of yellow. So they make awesome merch if you ever want In Vogue Records merch.
Swag.
I'm shouting that out because it's so cool.
Boys of Fall. I would say that if we had to talk about one band on the roster, and this is, we'll go into this guest later. Mark Woodbridge is a manager.
Yep.
But he manages Boys of Fall, I believe, along with Eric Drogemiller. And if I butcher his last name, I promise you I'm not the first, but I am sorry. But Boys of Fall is a great band, really smart, catchy pop rock band, and they are on In Vogue. So I guess this is where we could, I don't know, we might have like episode 733, part 100, if we go at this rate. But let's just keep doing it. Is this going okay so far?
I think so.
I think so, too. All right, so Kim Shattuck.
Great producer.
Great artist.
Great artist.
Have you ever seen the movie Clueless?
I have. I'm from the Valley.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah, Cher, you can get everywhere in 10 minutes. My wife's, it's like one of her favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're down the road from Circus Liquor.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, opposite that way.
I'm pointing like people can see. Yes, that's true. Where she, I think, got robbed.
Yeah.
At, was it gunpoint? I believe. Yes. Or if I will seriously shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie. So Kim Shattuck, what she's, I guess, most best known for is not, I think, her crowning achievement, but Kim Shattuck was actually, still is in the band The Muffs, and The Muffs covered Kids in America, which was the theme for Clueless. But let's just say fuck that.
Yeah.
The Muffs are the reason why Green Day signed to reprise Warner Brothers.
I didn't know that.
I know. They are the reason. And they had the same producer, Rob Cavallo, and so many underrated albums. So let's just say you get nothing else from this show. Check out The Muffs.
Yeah.
I saw them recently open for Veruca Salt.
Really? Where?
At the El Rey.
Ooh, I love that theater.
I do too. And Kim is a sweet and kind person. And she actually, I think, is going to be the only former client of mine that I give a shout out to on this. So you can read subtext or you don't have to. But she's a good person. She's a great recording artist. And I'm extremely grateful. So I guess next, his name is written as Brandon Hall Paddock, but I just call him Brandon Paddock. Brandon, I've known for almost a decade since he moved out here, and he's so smart. He's so smart, and he's such a talented producer, writer.
Yeah, I was about to be, he's another producer.
He is. I know that kind of seems to be like a lot of the MO. Like this show originally, I was just like, fuck, I have a show. I'm going to just interview people in music, but I've kind of trimmed the focus and get bands every now and again. But producers are interesting people. Usually they're, they're kind of sometimes like Rain Man, but you know, they like just in terms of processing information, like sometimes even sociopathic, and this isn't negative, but sometimes like lack of empathy, but they're so smart sometimes. Sometimes means one or more. But Brandon used to work for John Feldman, and he worked on the Drugs record, which is my favorite Craig Owens project. He's done like Foxy Shazam, Panic at the Disco, and in his own right, as the main producer, he's worked with Set It Off, Volumes, and he also has his own project, Fancy. He's just a really smart, articulate, well-spoken, and musically talented guy. Do you have anything you want to add on that?
For Brandon Hall Paddock?
Yeah, well, for Brandon Paddock or for Hall Paddock or for Brandon.
Well, I feel like with like all producers, they always, it's either like one or two things or both, where they have like such an interesting story with like how they got started in music to how they became a producer,
mm-hmm.
or like they just did something completely random or fell into being a producer. So I feel like with all producers, especially the ones that we've had on the show, it's always been like they've had a story to tell about where they are now and why they chose to do the records that they produce.
Not trying to contradict you, I agree with you, but I would argue that everyone has a story to tell.
That's true.
I think that if you work at that 7-Eleven, you have a story to tell, but for producers, it's kind of a lot of times the producers try doing music on their own and realize that they work best behind the scenes, but they still, like Brandon actually creates music on his own as well. Mm-hmm. I'm moving my hand. You can't see my hand. Radio.
It helps.
Yeah, it's weird. But Brandon is such a capable guy that he could sing lead on a record, or he could produce, or he can play that sick bass line on the Drugs record, we know. So next, okay, so this was my first fanboy moment as a radio show / podcast / whatever you want to call me. When Kevin Lyman came here.
Shout out to Kevin Lyman.
Warped Tour. By the time this airs, Warped Tour will probably be over.
Yeah.
I hope that it comes back in some form. I'm actually flying to Detroit. I think that's going to be my last Warped Tour next week, but they'll be over by then. Pomona was great. I'm going to Warped for 20 years, and I got to play it in 2000. It isn't. Well, it's a year since you were one.
Yeah.
I've been going to Warped.
Warped Tour is older than I am.
I know. A lot of things are older than you. And that could be another show, but you know what? I mean, it's not your fault. You were born then. Like, my parents thought that my taste in music in the 90s are like, why listen to grunge, Beatles and The Who? And I'm like, you're right. Those bands are better. So anyway, Kevin Lyman came here, and even before he was on the show, I'd known him. The City Drive played some dates, but it was like more like a known in quotes and vague. But we spent a bunch of time just walking around and talking, and you guys don't know this, or if you do, you need to be reinforced this. That guy's done so much for the world of music. I'm not just saying the scene, like the world of music. He's like, he's an imprint. He's a blip, and he's an empire, and Warped Tour, without a shred of hesitation, is the most important festival to me, let alone it might be, I'm not even going to say it's the best concert I've been to, because Silverchair is the best band I've been seeing, but I've seen so many incredible bands perform incredible sets at Warped. And you know what? I'm actually going to say Ludo in 2008, and Matt Wallace later, love him, producer, my favorite Walden's Word show. Sorry, it was. But Ludo, 2008, New York Warped, exceptional. Silverstein last year in Pomona, exceptional. You say one that you really like.
I mean, with Warped Tour, I feel like you've been going for such a long time. You saw all these like iconic bands. I think I went to a Warped Tour 2012, and I like the biggest bands that I saw were like We the Kings, All Time Low, because that's what I was into.
Yellow Card was that year. Yellow Bayside, Card. Sleeping with Sirens was blowing up. Pierce the Veil closed out Warped. Yeah. I took my guitar student Adam Rosen to Warped.
Was it the Ventura one?
Yeah. We were there together.
Oh, my God.
Yep, I was at that one. That was a good one. Yeah, that was Story So Far was blowing up at that point.
Coming out Pierce, with new music.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently, they've been doing that a while, but they have some really good songs. Yellow Card played that year. Mm-hmm. Bayside, Senses Fail, Sleeping with Sirens, Tonight Alive, We the Kings, All Time Low, The Used, Taking Back Sunday. That was a powerhouse year, 2012.
It was an amazing year. But I think, like, these past couple years I've been going, I think Warped Tour is definitely some of the best days I've had in my life so far.
Like, well, talk about what you've been doing lately, at Warped, and explain exactly what it is.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that the 2016 Warped Tour that we went to together is still one of the best days of my entire life.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and I rely.
That was a good year, too.
It was such a good year.
I mean, all of them are good years. They have varying degrees of goodness because it's so subjective, and it's impossible, as everyone listening knows, to please everyone. But I have had a fun time at every Warped I've gone to, and I've gone to a lot, and I've been going regularly for 20 years. And there's been at least one band set that I have loved. Love. And love is a word that I'm tentative about using, as we've spoken about. So I guess say one more. Tell your Warped Tour experience, because the people deserve to know this. And I love this so much.
I mean, my Warped Tour is like the first year I went with you, and I was just like going around and doing my Warped Tour thing, got a nice tan. And then this second year, or in 2017, I was with Epitaph. And then this past year, I did two dates with Fearless Records, who I absolutely love and adore. And
shout out to Ivan.
Shout out to Ivan.
Who's definitely not overwhelmed.
No, he's great.
He's a really good, sincere, sweet guy.
And I'm going to shout it out. Fearless Records has an amazing street team, and Ivan is the one that coordinates it, and he keeps his shit together so well.
You cursed. You're the first curse on this show. Oh, my fuck. Johnny Rago, shout out as well.
Johnny Rago, you're the best. Woodland
House. I mean, are you the best? He's great.
Yeah.
You're the best, Emily.
He's in my hometown now, so I got to be like,
I mean, you technically don't. I mean, Los Angeles has plenty of awful people. Anyway, no, Johnny Rago is not an awful person. I have a strong affinity for him and a lot of love for him and a lot of love for Fearless. And let's go back to what you said about 2012. I mean, Pierce the Veil, that was their year.
Yeah.
And I would say that they were one of the bigger bands on Warped. And again, back to Kevin Lyman. Thank you. Thank you for doing the show. I mean, at the time, the show wasn't on that long, and you did the show, and I'm grateful. Yeah. Next, we've got Dave Dominguez. And Dave, here's another fanboy moment, but I manage him, so it's different. But Dave Dominguez worked on Pinkerton, which is a top 10 album of all time for me. Yeah.
Me too.
Well, it's because, I mean, taste is subjective, but, you know, I mean, there's a right answer for that. No, I'm kidding, and I'm not. But, work with Guns N' Roses. He's worked with The Offspring. He's worked with Papa Roach. He's worked with so many huge, monumental 90s, early 2000s bands. And right now, he's a producer. He's an engineer. He's a very gifted, kind-hearted man. But more importantly than all that, he's a good father. And I am honored to know him. And it was great having him on that show. And do you have anything you want to say about that quickly?
Dave Dominguez?
Yes.
I mean, other than being like a fantastic producer and everything, I think, you know, when we have people in here who have like kids or just starting a family, because this is such a demanding job.
Understatement.
Yeah. And, you know, they talk about how like they do it and like, or if like their kids are interested in music as well. I think it's always such an interesting take because I'm still very young. I've never even thought
about it. I mean, I'm still young. I'm 37. I mean, comparison to Robert Burke. But you have been in the – I mean, you start – I'll give Emily's story, even though we'll talk about Emily when we talk about Emily.
Hi.
But Emily interviewed my old band, Greenlight Theory. And I wanted to – I like to meet people in person as much as possible. Like yesterday, I was meeting with two separate music publicists in Orange County because I've had email correspondence and like we're humans. Let's meet. Let's grab a coffee. Let's rap, yo. And I think that trumps everything. And Emily had written about, you know, my band. And so she was back in town because she lives in LA and studies at Drexel, not Temple, and studies there and was in town. And I was like, you know what? Let me buy. And at this coffee shop that since moved, shout out to Lux Coffee, so fucking good. But I was like, I want to buy this girl a coffee. She's a young girl and she wrote about my band. She did not have to, and that's the moral. People don't have to do anything. And so I want to buy her coffee, and in the middle of the conversation I was like, holy shit, this girl's awesome, would you intern for me? Isn't that what happened?
It's exactly what
and happened. Now you're my full-time assistant,
and now I look back and I'm like, what the hell? It's been 2 years as of this month.
It's that been. Known each other. I just laughed at my own shitty joke. It has, but the thing is that I know I say my assistant because that's technically true, but she, without you, the ship would be afloat in another way, but the ship wouldn't be sailing as well. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Emily is the future and the present. I've never said that of the music industry. So yeah, so I guess back to homies, McKinley Kitts. So McKinley is one of the guests who is in a band that's done very well and is doing very well called Floor. But I met McKinley when he was in a group called Sunderland back in the day outside the Roxy. And we ran into each other years later at a guitar center in the Valley.
Really?
And, you know, it's weird how things work out. We've hung out a bunch since. And when I started the show, it was more, you know, whatever. I mean, yes, I still have artists sometimes. But in the beginning, I had more artists and less suits. But McKinley is just a really sharp guy, a talented guitar player, songwriter, producer. And I was honored that he did this show. And he's given the show shout outs. And he's a good person. And I consider him a friend.
Yeah. You also have a really great Instagram, McKinley. I follow you on there. Pictures, great.
I hope you follow Emily Burke back, McKinley. But McKinley likes my stuff sometimes. And I can tell you that every time he likes my stuff, I smile.
Oh, my God.
No, McKinley is a good guy, really good musician. And if you have a chance to see Floor, who Floor the Record, toured with Parafloor. But Floor is great. They sell out venues around the country. They're gaining quite a lot of traction outside of the country. They're on Fueled by Ramen Records. And it's just so cool because sometimes people in bands aren't nice. Sometimes they're dickheads. I mean, sometimes it's people in the industry, everything. And so McKinley's not one of those dickheads. He's a nice guy. He's a sensitive guy. And speaking of sensitive, this will be the last guest we talk about before our break, who I hung out with last night, who is now a client, but wasn't then. And he's an artist too. And I will go on record and say that AFI is probably in my top 20 bands of all time. Probably. Actually, no, not probably. They are.
Well, let's say his name.
Hunter Bergen. Why'd you do that? I was doing this badass buildup and you just literally just kicked me in the balls metaphorically. Anyway, I'm sorry. You continue. Say Hunter Bergen again because we didn't say Hunter Bergen enough.
Hunter Bergen
is a good guy. Hunter Bergen's a great guy. Hunter Bergen is one of my favorite clients, but let's not even talk about that. Let's just say that Hunter is a very, very articulate, sensitive, smart, and talented human. And I love getting to know him. I love spending time with him. He was the 12th episode of the show. So it was before the Waldman's Words Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Before the quinceañera.
We were still a child.
Well, you are. Well, you're legally an adult now. Shit.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. Well, we Emily and I actually had dinner at a place that had alcoholic beverages. And that's the opposite of Hunter. Hunter does not drink alcohol. And awesome. And Hunter does not eat, you know, any animals. And so I said to Hunter, because he might hate this portion of the show, but I do. But around him, I never will. I will never eat an animal. We had a great meal last night with this band Wazzy. Shout out to Wazzy. And I'm not going to drink alcohol around him either.
That's a really good thing to do.
It's not a humble brag though. Thank you.
No, but I think, you know, like this day, like my best friend, Hannah Fine.
Hannah Fine.
She's been vegetarian for like 16 years.
And so she had a sweet 16 of no meat.
But, you know, I still eat meat around her and everything. She seems to be fine with it. But
she seems to be Hannah Fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Hannah Fine. Hannah Fine.
Everyone's a huge fan of Hannah Fine.
Nah, anyone who has a fan, everyone likes, I don't trust.
You shouldn't trust Hannah Fine.
No, because they're, if everyone likes you, you're doing something wrong.
Ooh.
That's what I think. Sorry this got a little negative. You don't agree with me on that?
I mean,
I think you're being a politician. I like Hannah Fine a lot. I do from my interactions. But, like, people, like, don't ever intend to make an enemy. Uh-huh. Like, I think that's malicious and shitty. But, like, people aren't going to like what you do or who you are. And as long as you have integrity and when you do fuck up, you have accountability, good. Does everyone really like Hannah Fine? Everyone? I love that we're talking about Hannah Fine in great detail and then we're going to go back to Hunter. But do they?
I mean, people are afraid of Hannah Fine.
So good. Thank you. At least there's a different emotion. Okay, back to Hunter. So Hunter is just really talented guy, sweet guy, really good episode of the show, and a very talented producer.
Yeah.
And I hope that more people see that soon. So we're going to get right back to Walden's words after these ads. I don't know how many part two or part three of episode 100 there will be because we're flying by night here, but it's going pretty well. And then we're going to talk about Andy Hill and Ass Life. So if that's not a sick transition, I don't know what is. Do you have a final thought about part one of episode 100?
I can't even think about part one anymore. I'm so ready for Ass Life.
You heard it first from a 21-year-old female. She's ready for Ass Life. Robert Burke, watch out for this one. No, all kidding aside, Andy Hill is actually very talented, and I hate the word actually, so I take that back, is an extremely talented improviser and a great guitar player. And I guess, you know, I talked about a former client producer. I used to manage Ass Life, one of the first bands I managed, and we don't anymore. But tonight, Jason Greenlee, who has not been a guest on the show, the screamer for Ass Life, one of my best friends, is coming over for dinner, and Kelly and I are making him dinner. Oh, Kelly's making dinner. I'm handing him beer. Kelly's such a good cook. But Andy Hill is awesome. Ass Life is great. Their new unreleased music, great. Firebomb at the Warehouse Party is a sick song. Go stream it. And the adjective I will give to describe this segment is detailed.
I like it.
Thank you. Stick around.
Welcome back to part two of Waldman's Words 100th episode. Spectacular.
This is the first time that you've introduced part and parts, so I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know. It really took a lot from inside me. Like, what am I going to say? How lively should I be? What do the
How lively want? Should I be? I think that's something you should consider every time you open your mouth. But you know what? You're perfect just the way you are.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad that I could keep being like emo in the corner.
Hashtag let's be emo. So I guess I spoke a little bit about Andy. So I'm going to take a picture of you while you're doing this and potentially post it on our socials. And I'd love you to talk about Andy Hill and Ass Life while I do that.
Cool. I need to step up my Instagram game. But Andy Hill, Ass Life. I remember this episode very, very vividly, just because I had to look up Ass Life.
Sorry, look up Ass Life. Yeah. Was that pun intended?
No.
Okay, thank you. But, I know.
You know, the band came up first, but then a lot of other weird stuff came up with it.
And weird is a word that I would use.
Yeah. But, you know, the band, I feel like with a band called Ass Life and like something like Butthole Surfers, stuff like that too, people are always like, well, I don't know.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. What kind of music like are they playing? Do I want to listen to it? But Ass Life is really good, guys.
Ass Life is amazing.
I am a huge fan of Ass Life. Huge fan of just Ass.
Sorry. That's the thing. It's such a polarizing name, which helps and hurts them. I'm texting you the picture of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But, you know, Andy Hill, he was a great guest.
He was a great guest. And he was here.
Yeah. He came. I always like it when people come into the studio.
So much better.
Yeah.
And someone today was like, I can do it on the phone. And I'm like, you live here. I can't.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say who it is. But it's so much better in the studio. On the phone is fine. It's kind of fine. But it's 100% preferable in a meeting or on a radio interview because you have social cues and sometimes things get lost in translation. Sometimes things get cut out. So, yeah.
And also the IW studio is great.
It's great, despite being so fucking hot right now. But it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
I love Tom. I told him that and he kind of reciprocated with non-love. He said, you're great and blah, blah, blah. No, I love Tom. I love Adobe. I'm extremely grateful. And I'm going to just give two more shout outs. One of which these people was a guest. Actually, both of them were guests, but we'll talk about them more later. But Patrick Walford, Rock the Walls, was the first person to welcome me over email. And I got to hang out with him for a short time at Warped in Pomona. And Fish was in the room and he was a guest as well and showed me how to record and was supervising for a while. So I just want to give both of them shout outs for being amazing. So we talked about Andy Hill a little bit. You want to say anything else?
Nothing. I love you, Andy Hill. We've never met.
You love him. Holy
love
shit.
Love Andy Hill.
Wow, I like him. Okay, so I really do. I love Jason Greenlee. So now we're going to talk about the crazy world of being a booking agent. Mm-hmm. I often say this, that A&Rs and booking agents are the hot girls at the bar. They go home with anyone they want. Mm. Or the hot guys at the bar. But I can only imagine I get a lot of submissions. I can only imagine how many you get as an agent. And Zach, this is an interesting component, but he kind of worked with an act I worked with. Mirror Eyes, I don't anymore. I still manage Jess Coppins, and we're going to launch her solo career soon. So he kind of worked with it, but he currently is the agent for Lydia. He's currently the agent for The Rockets, Summer, Jula Vera, so many, Sunflower Beans, so many bands. And we hung out at Warped Tour, back to Warped Tour in San Francisco. And I like him. I consider him a friend. He's a good guy. He's a hardworking agent, and he's honest. So Zach, much love to you. You're one of the good ones, and San Francisco is an extremely inexpensive city to live in, so you're very lucky in that front.
Zach Zephan is a guy, I feel like I see his name all the time. I've still never met him in person, but you did mention the fact that you like saw him at Warped Tour.
No, we went to Warped
Tour.
When I went to Mountain View Warped Tour, we went together.
So many of the guests that we've had on this show, I met in person at Warped Tour.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. So, like, any interaction I have with them outside of the Wellman's World Swim have all been Warped Tour.
True story.
Yeah.
And speaking of Warped Tour, I'm going to tell you my favorite person on Warped Tour. That was a sick fucking translation.
Yeah, that was great.
Translation, which isn't a word. Again, shout out to Mr. Zach, Zachary, Carl. We love you. Jamie Cyrus. Now, his last name is often mispronounced, but his love and genuine itty, which is not a word, but sincere guy, voice for the innocent. I think the most important guy on Warped Tour. He's not there right now. His cause is Jamie fucking cares.
Yeah.
Jamie and Eric care. Everyone, Eric Boggs, shout out to him too.
But I feel like just giving a little shout out to his organization.
No, do it, please. This is your, talk about it as much as you can. So, this can't be spoken about enough.
Yeah, Jamie has a great organization called A Voice for the Innocent that deals a lot with like sexual assault, whether you're a man or a woman. And, you know, this day and age, it's getting talked about more, but there's still a stigma. And you could catch A Voice for Innocent at, like, every Warped Tour. They go to a bunch of shows.
Get their merchandise. That keeps them afloat. I have a shirt, wristbands. You can buy it. It helps them and wear it. And because these voices are important, there are so many people going through stuff that you can't even imagine.
And there are people there at every Warped Tour. And they have such amazing volunteers.
Insane.
Like, they are kept afloat by their volunteers. And they do such hard work for this organization. That is so, so vital. Like,
vital. That's a good word. Necessary. So music necessary. Is not, I mean, I love music. I do. I really do. It's vital to me. But this is vital to life.
Yeah.
This is necessary. People go through horrible things. We all do. Every single person on planet Earth has a story, like we said. Mm-hmm. And Jamie and Eric and everyone at A Voice for the Innocent is doing something constructive. And I'm telling you this, they're not making seven figures doing this. They're doing this to help people.
Yeah. I think it was definitely one of my favorite episodes ever, just because it brought it to light. And I think if you take away anything, even if it's from the entire show or even just this part of this one episode, go check out A Voice for the Innocent. Do what you can to help them because they are amazing. If you're going to a Warped date and you see their tent, please go up and say hi. Talk to those volunteers because they are out there all day.
All day, sweating, working to help someone.
Yes.
A Voice for the Innocent is a cause that Emily and I and everyone at Team Walden Management can get behind. And I know that this took a turn for the more serious, but that's just life, ebbs and flows. I want to give another shout out to Jamie Cyrus. You're a really good person. You are a great guest, and I'm honestly honored to know you.
Yes.
So what's next is someone who I like a lot too. I know this is going to – I kind of feel bad for Atreyu now because he had like someone else like say all this up. But I've actually spent more time with Atreyu than Jamie. Atreyu actually co-managed one of my old bands, Greenlight Theory. For a short time. Exactly. For a short time. It was. Oh, okay. It didn't work out. But he is so... His Twitter is my favorite Twitter.
His Twitter's so fun.
He is funny. And he's a great writer. And he's a great manager. And he's a friend. And I like him a lot. And he's well-spoken. Articulate. Sensitive. Kind of like Hunter in that regard. But and they both live near the Bay. Maybe there's something about like the San Francisco Bay that either creates you to be a smug fuck or to be just like a really sensitive, introspective, articulate person.
Nowhere in between.
No. Life is either, there's no gray area. It is black and white, like a cookie.
Oh, the best cookies.
The best. Well, we're Jewish. You're part Jewish, okay?
I'm full Jew.
No, you're not. Your mom's not Jewish.
She converted before
I was. Hey, man, whatever. No, you are technically, but I hate, well, I'm an agnostic Jew. Anyway, but I love that Jews. I don't love that Jews are oppressed. I literally saw a dude with a fucking swastika tattoo like in West Hollywood a month ago. And I saw a swastika. 2018's fucking scary. I saw someone with a swastika t-shirt. And I'll be political now. Fuck this complicit nation and fuck Donald Trump. I know Robert Burke would appreciate that.
Yeah. Fun fact, my dad's an immigration lawyer.
I know. That's not a fun fact to me.
No, we talked about immigration this morning as I drove him downtown. And it's a scary
which sometimes there, feels guys. Like another country downtown LA.
Yeah. But honestly.
Did he need an immigration lawyer to go downtown?
What?
Because it feels like a foreign country.
Wow.
That okay. was fucking funny. Keep going.
I'm just going to say to end this off, you know, educate yourself. Be on the right side of history.
Please.
Yeah, that's it. Just make sure if you are ever going to open your mouth that you are as educated as possible. And just watch what you say, dude.
Well, if you're going to critique, like, I my Facebook feed is permeated by unilateral one sides. And I'm not a Democrat, but I definitely align with the Democratic Party more than the Republican Party now. And in the 1860s, Democrats were slave owners and the Republicans were the Abe Lincoln Party. So things change. But being on the right side of history is important. And if you are going to say a thing like a fuck Trump like I am and you don't vote, then fuck you. If you are not doing something, if you're just a fucking troll voice repeatedly over and over just complaining without action, then you are just as bad as the people you're criticizing. I am a staunch supporter of speaking your mind. And that goes back into the enemies. Friends or politicians thing. And I have very strong opinions. And what I say sometimes, which is once or more, offends people. And I never intend to be malicious, ever. If the information I give offends sometimes, because sometimes I can be more, should be more delicate, I am sincerely sorry. But I am not fucking sorry for saying stuff like, fuck Rick Santorum, who I've written songs, plural, about. Fuck Chick-fil-A. I will say that on record. Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck anyone who oppresses people who are homosexual, minority, anyone. And you could say, you could argue that I'm hating hate or oppressing, and that's fine. Make that argument. Fuck you for that argument.
Yeah. It's just...
Go back to the right side of history thing, yeah. Too.
It's a scary world out there, but I'm guessing a lot of the people that are listening to the show are young, my age or younger.
Maybe I would say the mean age is actually younger than you. Really? And well, there are a lot of older people who listen to this at work, yeah. But I'd say like the target demo is kind of like late high school, early college Warped Tour type people.
Well, I think that everyone nowadays, especially Warped Tour, they do the warped votes. So, you know, if you are able to vote, please vote. Please, please, please educate yourself. Like, ask someone. Like my, like I said, my dad is an immigration lawyer. He's been practicing immigration for.
And I really like Robert Burke. Yeah. I just want you to know that. I made him a Spotify playlist.
He loved it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I listened to it yesterday. Kinks. Shout out to Kinks and ELO. Continue.
But, you know, especially when it comes to that, the law changes all the time. And you could go up and ask these people.
Especially music law. Yeah. All right, continue.
Music yeah. law. Like, my mom immigrated here from El Salvador. It's just, you know, that I think that's the biggest hot button issue. And we'll
go. I love that you said too. Hot button. Keep going. You're doing such a good job. Emily, honestly, I don't want her to do Waldman's Words without me, because that wouldn't be Waldman's Words.
Yeah.
But she could. It'd be my So maybe words. One day we'll do a Waldman's Words, Burke's Words, and I'll be, you can interview me.
Oh my God, that'd be fun.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
We'll confirm that. Send me an email. Okay. I'm not kidding. We're doing that.
Email reminders.
Okay. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
No. Fucking do it now, please.
Oh, okay.
Fucking please.
Well, moving on.
No. Okay. Back to Atreyu.
Yes. Sorry,
Atreyu. Sorry, Atreyu. Again, two times a charm. Atreyu's a nice guy. Atreyu's a talented writer. Atreyu's a talented manager. Atreyu's Twitter is the best Twitter. Is honestly my favorite Twitter, and I've seen a lot. And I believe his Twitter handle is, it's just his first name, I believe. So let me look it up, because he's the best twatter. Hang on one second. Shout out to
Atreyu.
Yep, it is. Yes.
His tweets always get retweeted onto my timeline. And it's not just you. Like, people love Atreyu.
Because he's amazing on Twitter. Yeah. So can you talk to the guests right here about what it's like being an assistant at Waldman Management? Because I think they deserve to know this. This is Waldman's Words, yeah. And this is kind of a Waldman word.
Well, I'm going to do it in terms of, like,
whatever you want.
Overall.
Go for it.
What it's like being an assistant.
So very more overarching, yeah. And general and unspecific.
Well, because my sister actually recently, maybe a week ago, got hired as an assistant for a talent agency.
Mm-hmm.
And there's,
unspecific.
A lot of similarities between our two jobs, even though she has no idea what management is, and I feel like that's always kind of like an ongoing joke about, like, what do managers do? If anyone's ever seen BoJack Horseman,
mm-hmm. Is that the one with Amy Poehler's ex-husband?
Maybe.
What's his name? This is a lead in Jill.
Will Arnett.
Yeah, that's he's BoJack.
Yeah.
Again, these jokes. Babe Ruth struck out a lot. Continue.
But you know, it's a lot of work, and it's one of those things where. I feel like when you say that you're someone's assistant, they're always just like, oh, so you're like second on the totem. Like, you don't really.
That's why I don't even like, as I said, saying my assistant, because I don't fucking own you. Yeah. But you are my assistant. But no, Emily does, honestly, and she's doing more. And I know it's overwhelming and I apologize. No. But without Emily, honestly, the ship, I would be fucking stranded.
And I think it goes for like a lot of people who are looking to get in on the music industry and maybe start as an assistant and grow, where you have so much room to do your own thing and make your own decisions, and it's
proactive.
Yeah, it's all about what you choose to do with your time and with your assignments, because, you know, we've like worked with people in the past where you're giving them freedom to do what they want, but you're giving them a platform to do it, and then nothing ever comes from it. So when it comes to being an assistant, something that I really, really appreciate with working with Wellman Management is that I'm taking
a picture of you because I want to notate this moment of you talking about Wellman Management, but I'm loving this and I'm going to shut up until you're finished.
I know what I need to do, but I could do it in my own way. So, you know, I'm working on different projects right now with...
Understatement.
We just launched a rapper. So, you know...
Shout out to D. Holiday.
Shout out to D. Holiday.
Drew Holiday, my homie.
You know, so we had to do that. And then I was able to work with him on a certain project. I'm able to work with Stringer on certain projects.
Shout out to Mike Cubillos and Stringer.
Yeah.
I love Mike Cubillos. He's one of the people I say I love. And Mark Fletcher from Stringer, who's also a guest on here. And Mike Cubillos. And Rob Castillon, who's the head of Wiretap Records. Shout out to all of them. But Mark Fletcher is my camper. And Mike Cubillos has never managed a band before. Came to me. Insanely successful publicist. Insanely amazing. Great father. Great everything. And now we co-manage Stringer together. But keep going on Stringer. And then we're actually just going to say, fuck it. This is episode 100. Keep going.
Well, last thing about Mike Cubillos is I look up to that guy too because he's a great hard worker.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He is the best.
And he like has his shit together. And I'm like, okay, Mike Cubillos knows what's up.
What's up?
But yeah, so I think this turned into like a general advice thing where it's like fine. As soon as you get a platform and you have room to grow, take the opportunity. If you make a mistake, then someone will be like, hey, don't do that again. You'll be like, okay, I won't.
What do I do when you make a mistake?
Hey, don't do that again. I'll be like, okay.
I mean, this is what you did.
Yeah, this is what you did.
This is what you did. Try not to do that again. I don't say, hey, don't do that again.
No.
I say, try not to.
Yeah.
And sometimes you make a mistake again. I say, don't do that again. And I make mistakes. And what do I do when I make a mistake with you?
You go, sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. It's what happens. But, like, don't – you're going to be put in positions a lot where you have to make